Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast That Wouldn't Die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr's the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2, final trailer. I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need
exactly?
Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist!
Yeah, buddy!
All right!
Awesome. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans
music has no power over me.
There is a limit, even to the imagination.
Human teleportation, molecular decimation, breakdown, and reformation is inherently purging.
Where our greatest creations meet our deepest fears.
Something went wrong, Seth. When you went through, something went wrong.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Howdy.
This week, we have a very special guest. We have Carlo from the Movie Loot Podcast. How's it going?
Woo! Doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This week, we'll be discussing the horror classic, The Fly, with Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis. David Cronenberg is in this ever so briefly.
Yeah.
That's right.
All sorts of good stuff. Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre with a comedic twist. Aaron, what's going on with you?
Dude, I'm very excited because I've never seen this movie before.
What?
I've seen the original. I figured, why mess around?
I almost spit my drink out. I couldn't believe it.
Plus, I'm very excited because it's like our people. It's a tall cast.
That is true.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Fantastic.
I'm as tall as Gina Davis.
Well, I mean, and Goldblum is even taller than you think. He's like 6'4".
Yes.
He's really tall.
She's 6 feet. Yeah. He's 6'4". So I was like, oh, nice. Our people. No more of this Tom Cruise bullshit.
A Hollywood 5'8 is what you're saying.
Hollywood 5'8. He's 6 foot tall by Hollywood standards.
If it was Tom Cruise, it would be Nat, not the Fly.
Absolutely.
Boom.
No, I mean, I was talking to somebody about this. It's like, prior to this point, we think of Jeff Goldblum as being kind of tall and skinny. And then suddenly he's like just jacked.
He is jacked.
Movie. Yeah. 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 And a lot of his first films, he's just this gangly dude.
Yes.
Very geeky, very nerd, which he is here. Mm. But when you see him, he's ribbed.
And he's on his way to leading man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he did his
acrobatics, right? Yeah. He was the one that.
Ridiculous. They didn't even try to find someone who matched his physique. Because he's 6'4", so he's got this long torso. Whoever was flipping around was like,
you can do this, Jeff.
Was Tom Cruise.
It's like Mitch Gaylord or somebody. No, but it's like ever since this movie, he's like, I will still be the scientist, but I'm going to be the jacked scientist. I'm going to be now Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park. is jacked and has to have his shirt open. Oh, my leg's broken, but I gotta unbutton my shirt.
I love Jack Goldblum. Well, he's naked in half this movie, so why? Yeah. He better do something.
Did you he's call that him
middle
Jack
ground Goldblum? Between geeky and handsome and just charming. It's that middle ground.
And the older he gets, the more fashionable and interesting he becomes, that bastard.
He has that show on Disney Plus. It's like The World According to Jeff Goldblum. And each week he like does like a half an hour little mini documentary on something.
Dude, I would sign up for that. Just talk to me.
It's
talk
very
to me,
soothing.
Jeff Goldblum.
It's he bizarre. Is very,
did you see him at the Super Bowl?
I did. Where was he? He was there with Taylor Swift.
He was up in a box somewhere just being Jeff Goldblum.
And they didn't point him out or anything. He was just happened to be there.
He just happened to be there, and I saw him. I picked it up on the TikTok. It was just, he'd be like.
Right. Wearing like Joseph in his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat jacket or something.
Dude, I follow him on Instagram just to see what his latest outfit's going to be.
Was he next to Taylor Swift? Because if not, he wouldn't have focused on him.
Yeah, I don't think he was with Taylor, but he was definitely up in the boxes.
Just doing his thing. Jeff Goldblum.
Just being Jeff Goldblum. Absolutely.
He's come a long way from being the third rapist in Death Wish.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
He was there.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Go back.
Oh, my God. It is such a disturbing movie. I remember him popping up in Jurassic Park, and I'm like, is that the rapist from Death Wish?
In the original Death Wish with Charles Bronson, he has no lines. Him and two buddies are the home invader rapists that are in the beginning of that movie. Isn't that crazy? Sweet Jesus.
I need to check that one out.
Oh my God.
It's been too long.
More about Jeff Goldblum. One of my biggest regrets was when I was in London, there was this super ginormous, shirtless Jeff Goldblum statue by the Tower Bridge. And I missed it by a day. I finally was free one day and I ran out there and I'm like, where is it? I don't see it. I was asking the people at the stores right there. They're like, oh no, they took it yesterday. I was like, no.
He was in a giant inflatable Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park with his shirt. I think it was like one nipple exposed.
You have to have a nipple.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. It was some weird bronze kind of looking situation. It just appeared and then disappeared without notice. I was like,
so bizarre. anyway, Aaron, give us your 30-second synopsis of The Fly.
A dude invents some stuff because you didn't know programming was so easy that in 5 minutes you can figure out teleportation. Gets the drinking, and then we learn why experiments should be done in a lab without the drinking. He gets all scrambled up with a fly and then just becomes a fly until his girlfriend has to kill him until she gives birth to the fly baby. The end.
That's a good one.
It's very concise.
You have already established that this is your first viewing, which is freaking shocking to me.
Yeah.
I know. I don't think I ever wanted to see it because the end of the original Fly, help me. I was like, that is so powerful. I mean, that is the creepiest thing where they pick up the rock and just smash him right as the spider is about ready to eat him. I'm like, oh.
I don't think I will forget that scream ever in my
life. Oh my God. And then him dying in the press. I mean,
the squisher.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have said that didn't need to be remade, but I enjoyed it.
They did their own little flavor on there. Now, Carlo, do you remember when you first saw this movie?
Oh man, I'm not sure, but I know I saw it probably too early for my age. late 80s, maybe. I do remember one of my older brothers, he's a fan of horror films, and he had a couple of Fangoria magazines that talk about the film and the whole makeup process. And I always found myself intrigued by it. They had how they made the final bug with the eyes and the antenna. And I think it had to be one of those first rentals at the video store when we were kids and teenagers. Maybe not me, but probably one of my older brothers rented it and I probably saw it. But I have seen it a couple of times afterwards. I think I caught it on TV once. Then I rented it when I was older. And I've seen it a couple of times afterwards. So yeah, I'm a fan.
I know. I think I saw it when it was out. Like, I didn't go to the movies. I was too young. But I remember being at like a friend's house and maybe we rented it or it was on cable or something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was fairly familiar with it, but I swear to God, I have not seen it in at least 30 years. I mean, it's been ages. It's been ages since I've seen it, but it was like, you remember kind of the broad strokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But definitely seeing it this time, it filled in some blanks.
It's different.
Yeah. It's a whole different experience, let me tell you.
Yep.
Well, it's interesting because Jeff Goldblum's character is such a quirky little character. You love Jeff Goldblum. Mm. He's sweet. And then Gina Davis looks like she's an infant. She looks just like a baby in this. This has got to be one of her earliest roles.
Right. This was still like early, like she wasn't a well-known figure at this point.
I don't think so. No. Not till Beetlejuice. I think Beetlejuice really kicked her.
I think this one leading into Beetlejuice really kind of set the tone, because I don't think they wanted to hire her. Not to mention, she was Jeff Goldblum's girlfriend at the time.
Shut your mouth. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes. He met her filming Transylvania 65,000. That one with Ed Begley Jr. and Michael Richards.
Oh, my God. This sounds like a market quality there.
Cinema.
It is cinema. I think we all agree. Absolutely. No, when I was in third grade, that was high comedy. Transylvania 65,000. Absolutely.
I haven't seen it. But one of the things that I like about Jeff Goldblum casting, we were talking about his physique and all that, but his eyes, he has such big eyes, eyes, that it's perfect. When he's talking, he's so excited talking to Gina Davis, and you can see his eyes pretty much popping out. It's a perfect fly.
He's already half a fly, frankly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't we jump right into the highlights? Aaron, what you got?
I love the fashion. I love the fashion. It takes you back, or it takes me back, to the day with her shitty, ugly sweaters, with the giant shoulder pads, her giant purse that must have had, you know, six change of clothes in it. There's so much shit in there. The hair. I mean, he was, they were both so fashionable for the time.
Well, same clothes, like Einstein.
Yeah. Right, yes. I mean, his clothes seemed kind of normal-ish. Right. I mean, you could probably see somebody wearing something similar to that.
Yeah.
Hers kind of veered from normal-ish to like, whoa, we are deep in the 80s.
Deep in the 80s is correct. And stockings, people forget, stockings were a real thing in the 80s. It's like, I'm wearing my power suit, but I have lingerie of a whore underneath my professional suits.
Well, and she knew what she was doing. He's like, would you give me something so I can put it through the teleportation machine? And she's like, well, let me hike up my skirt and pull down my... She knew what she was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have Jeff Goldblum there, wouldn't you take off your stocking and give it to him?
I don't know if I would, but
I'll give him all the all the stockings you want. My question is, later on, he turns a baboon inside out, but the stockings didn't turn inside out.
What did they say?
It wasn't organic. He was having issues with organic things. He could teletransport inanimate objects, but organic things was with what he was having issues.
So it was rayon that saved the day.
Rayon, you're good to go. Well, and I kept wondering, if these fucking baboons are exploding, maybe let's start with mice?
Where are you going to buy all these baboons?
Stray cats.
That's what I'm saying.
I was like, rabbits, cats, something you get at the pet store, not something that needs to be specially held, and I'm guessing expensive.
Right!
Yeah, where was he keeping them?
Just roaming
free.
Well,
at least two.
Yes.
The place is like a shithole, so for all I know, they're just swinging from the chandeliers, defecating everywhere.
Throwing their feces. The one that survived...
Here's a banana.
True. The one that survived the process was never put in a cage again. He was just free. Free range.
He's in the sewer with the chud now and the alligators.
Yes. Here's my expensive mandrel baboon from frickin' Zambia or some shit that I've mailed. Yes. Mice. Lab mice. Akashia, you know. 5 for a quarter, basically. You know what I'm saying? Let's start there. Oh, sweet Jesus.
And also, I don't understand why, how, I mean, he was drunk, okay. But you're one experiment away from an inside-out baboon, and then you decide to jump yourself in that thing. I mean,
Quite frankly, the horsefly was so loud, it was irritating the baboon. So how drunk are you that you don't, that you're in a closed container with a thing who's just screaming? It's so loud.
Yes. I mean, you mentioned this. Shouldn't this be like a sterile environment? I mean, what the frick are we doing? This is an old dusty, derelict crack den. That
the doors are open. It's filled with dust, which is also... Yep. Has living shit in there. And just because, I mean, they merge plants with fish and weird shit, and the corn then doesn't start melting, and whatever they mixed with it appears, right?
Allegedly.
Wasn't that a thing? This is why we don't have the GMO, because they're mixing like fish things with the cattle corn and blah, blah, blah. So one of them has to win, and I don't know.
This is serious.
He's walking in naked. What if he steps in an ant?
Right. Absolutely.
What happens to all the skin cells he's shedding? Do they put it back in?
They reattach.
It's all floating around?
Yes.
He's like, let me write 3 lines of code. Taken care of.
Well, okay, we got to talk about that. Gina Davis... This makes some kind of bizarre pillow talk where she's just like, I just want to eat you up. I'm hungry for your flesh. And he's like, oh, shit. Now I know the code.
Get off of me. I got an idea.
I'm going to go tap these keys for 30 seconds and I've cracked
it. Genius working.
What did she say that they kind of yada yada that bullshit? It's like, now that you mention it, I figured it all out. Thank goodness.
And he yada yada the whole thing about how he's not really sure how it works and that other people put all the pieces together. What?
He was just a builder or something. He said something to that effect. That he was just an engineer that builds the things.
Except he doesn't build it.
Yeah. he wasn't entirely sure of how
he wasn't
work.
Sure how it's working, but he does know that he gets car sick. So that's why he invented it.
Evidently, violently motion sickness, basically. Yep.
Dicks in a tricycle and in donuts.
I can't drive 5 feet in this car without wildly retching, evidently. It's like, come on, Jeff. Get it together.
I think we need to discuss, this is like Star Trek, and this is like The Prestige. Are these duplicates? Are these, do you die and a copy is there? Is there another version of you now appearing in a field somewhere with a stocking and an exploded baboon? What's happening? This whole pod time travel is very disturbing.
He says it's giving an interpretation of the stake. So it's an interpretation of Jeff Goldblum.
That means it's not you.
Right.
Yeah. That's why the steak tastes different.
Right.
Synthetic.
That was a very interesting kind of experiment that he did. But again, it's like, oh shit. Yeah, this steak tastes like shit. Oh, I got it now. Let me just type in the keys for a couple minutes and we're good.
Why wasn't the plate assimilated into the steak?
That's a good question.
That's a good. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Well, I mean, the goal should be I can get in this thing wearing clothes.
Right? Yes.
That should be the goal. So I'm not naked appearing somewhere else where it's like, oh shit, anybody have a towel? I mean, what? You know what I'm saying? That should be the goal. Jeff, back to the drawing board.
I thought the pods were cool.
They look really
like
cool.
If Geiger had invented pods, that's what they would look like. And I guess there'd be like an alien thing hanging over it too. But that's the vibe I was getting.
Yeah, I had that written. That the design is really cool. They look like hives. Very
yeah.
A mixture of organic and industrial. They look really creepy and cool. I like them.
And what is all that smoke? And I got to breathe that until that door opens up? What is that?
It fills with chlorine gas or something.
The chlorine gas, yes.
Who knows what's happening in there?
Who knows?
Can I have a doorknob on the inside of the pod while we're at it?
This doesn't look like something you're going to kick out.
That would have helped Dina Davis in the end.
Yes!
And Jeff Goldblum, if it's for you... Shouldn't you not have to be curled up into a ball to get inside of it?
Yeah, make it Jeff Goldblum sized, right?
Exactly. I don't want to crouch. No, I want to be able to be leisurely in my 1 second journey.
He's inexpensive, so they build a small one.
So Jeff meets Gina Davis at some kind of science convention. And she's a reporter.
Right.
But then later when she pulls out a tape recorder, he's like, whoa, hang on. What are you talking about? Why are you recording all my secrets? You knew she was a reporter.
Yeah. But he thought they were just getting busy. So were we supposed to think that, yeah, she's a reporter, I'm a scientist, but she's just trying to get with me. Is that it?
But then when they're eating cheeseburgers. He says that he can't control, that he just can't stop talking about that. And that's why he started spewing all the thing about the experiment. But I mean, you gotta know that she was in for the story.
Yes. Well, and I kind of appreciate that she's like, fuck off, I'm publishing.
Yeah. Later, skater. And she works for some. They mentioned Omni Magazine, which I loved back in the day. Omni Magazine was the coolest. It was like a sci-fi published by Bob Guccione, if I recall.
Oh.
But
that's a thing.
That was a thing. Omni Magazine was this science. It was like science fiction, anything along those lines. And they always had like these crazy Geiger covers. And you'd see it at the supermarket on your way out. It was really cool. But anyway, she worked for Particle, so I don't know if this is Scientific America or if this is like an Omni situation.
If this is World Weekly News or who knows what this is.
Exactly.
The Bat Boy.
Jeff Goldblum next to JFK. Hiding in the bushes.
Absolutely.
They're all hiding in Belize with Elvis.
So... Oh, God. And then there's kind of a bizarre subplot where it's like Gina Davis's boss was her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
What the hell? And then he's like, you know, he basically breaks into her apartment to take a shower. He's like, I just happen to be in the neighborhood.
Yeah. I felt scummy.
Yeah, you're pretty scummy is right.
He's an interesting character.
At the end, like that. Now he's all good. Everything's fine now.
He's an interesting character, Stathis Borens, because
what a crazy fucking name.
The script didn't seem to know what exactly to do with him,
right.
Because at times he seemed level-headed, then he's a creep, then he says something sensible, then he's a jealous bastard, then he goes back to saying, and in the last act, I felt like he was the most level-headed character, maybe.
He was like the hero!
Now he's the hero.
It was so bizarre.
It's a weird character, really, really. But I really appreciate the moments that he had of really listening to her. For example, when she's worried about, I mean, I'm pregnant, and he listens to her, and she says, "Okay, what do you want to do?" And that last act for him was really his moment of shining.
Right. Well, he has these very sincere moments. you know. He got like kind of speckled in there. Here's a really, I just don't want you out of my life. Or here's me acting, by the way.
What is it that he said which came out of nowhere? Can I claim your body?
Yes! It's
something that came out of nowhere. I mean, why are you saying that?
It's super creepy. And then, I mean, you can pretend it's altruistic that he's helping her to get an abortion, but come on. We're getting rid of that because I'm moving right in.
Clearly.
I don't want your horse-fried larva baby. We're getting rid of your fly lover. We're getting rid of your fly baby. And you're coming home to daddy.
I mean, go ahead, bro.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Without him, she's a crazy, like, mutant melted in with Jeff Goldblum's mutant body.
Yeah. Yeah.
His hand was freaking melted off. And he's still like, I'll help you, hon. Here I can. I would have been, you know what I'm saying? He was still like, dragging his body over and saves the day. I would have been like, honey, you're on your own. I got a jacked up hand.
What is wrong with her that she has no family or friends?
Right. He's her only confidant.
That's the only person that she can go to in times of trouble. What's wrong with her? She's clearly a jackass.
But there was something, what was that Kevin said right now? Never mind. I lost it.
About Stannis. His name was like Stannis
Borens, something like that.
It's an interesting name. So you wonder where it came from.
Stathis Borens.
Stathis, right?
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. Oh, the thing that I was going to mention. I don't know if you read that they had written a bunch of epilogues for the end where he and Ronnie and Gina Davis end up together, but they ended up scraping them because the test audiences didn't like that they ended up together.
No,
so they decided to just end it the way they end, so just after they kill Jeff Goldblum.
They burned a lot of calories to make him as horribly unlikable as possible. When she's like, give me back my key, he's like, I think I'll keep it as a memento.
I think I'll change my locks as a remembrance.
He was so awful. He really was. How about we just have some, you know, stress-relieving sex? What do you say? Just between friends.
How about I sue you for sexual harassment in the workplace and you become a hobo?
It's a Me Too situation.
I'm scummy.
He might be the most horrible character in all of cinema. I mean, he's awful.
In all of cinema?
In all of cinema. I think we can all agree on that. Sweet Jesus. I like how when when Jeff Goldblum's trying to like wine and dine her, he takes her to McDonald's. It's like, bro, come on. It's your first date. Come on.
Cheeseburgers.
He's supposed to be like Mr. Super Geek. That's what it is. Like he doesn't even know. The best line, and we already talked about the wardrobe, was, don't you ever change your clothes? First date conversation.
No, these are new.
These are clean.
These are clean.
And he's not offended at all.
Well, and Gina was the aggressor. In the relationship. He's sitting there like oblivious. She's like, you're so cute. And he's like, I am. And the audience was like, you are? She was after him. No question.
Oh, yeah. as we would be.
Now, there's a whole different Jeff Goldblum, of course, after he gets the drunk on. Because he's a fragile Phil. So one minute, I got to take care of some stuff. So immediately, I try to drink myself to death and perform dangerous experiments. So you get what you get.
In his defense, she didn't come back until the next morning.
She was gone for like 5 minutes.
She was not. He was asleep.
She went over and barked at her old boyfriend. And then that was it. Where was she?
Oh, that's a good question.
I wrote down here, she had a 5-minute conversation and an entire day passes.
She just went out clubbing afterwards, evidently. Who's to
whoop,
say?
Studio 54. Whoop, whoop.
No, you're right. It was a 5-minute conversation. It took 12 years.
It took 12 years. Maybe she walked to New Jersey and back. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, he had to convince a taxi to take her to that decrepit warehouse-like place.
What?
I'm not taking you there.
Forget it. When that's the thing. When she takes him, Jeff Goldblum, to his warehouse at the beginning, it's like, he could be a serial killer. This is the shittiest part of town. There's no one. No one can hear you scream.
No.
But he's cute.
He's kind of cute. He's kind of smart. Nothing bad could ever happen to me.
Sweet Lord.
I was thinking, you know, you could really fix up this place. I really like the idea of having one of those big open lofts. I'm watching way too much TikTok and lofts in New York and downtown LA.
That's kind of a thing, isn't it?
It is. Just the open space, industrial kind of coolness.
The big door, sliding door.
Yeah, with the big sliding door. I don't like the idea that when those apartments where the elevator opens up into your apartment, that sounds super murdery.
A penthouse is what those are called. Yes.
But I don't want the riffraff crawling up there.
I don't think you could just do it. It's not just, I think you have to turn a key or something. It's not like, hey, here I am. This is easier than I thought. I'm not like a cat burglar climbing. I just hit the button on the elevator and suddenly I'm in.
How about when Fly Bloom, looking all methy and sketchy, shows up to the bar looking for some sex and arm wrestling?
It was a different time, a simpler time.
Yeah, that's how we settled difference back then.
But you're right. That was when he first started, because he was still all big and buff. But his skin was f***ed up. He had some problems. He had some skin issues at that stage of the game.
It was one of the things that I really, probably one of my main complaints, is that things felt a bit rushed. That once he does that teleport thing, it was pretty much the next day he gets all aggressive and he starts getting, now I'm going to look another girl and now my body's all falling apart. It was sort of rushed. I would have maybe put some title cards 2 months later or something.
Yes, yes.
28 days later.
There you go.
Wasn't he an X-Men? Why is it that, one of the sides has to win? If they're merged, how does one win over the other? He should be flying around solving crime, solving science mysteries, jumping from buildings.
Science mysteries.
That's a special power.
As all X-Men do. Again, X-Men.
He certainly looked like an X-Men when he broke wall, that doctor's office wall.
Well, and he was like kind of doing the loop-de-loops on that bar. I mean, how strong was that pipe? By the way, that he could do, like, he's like jumping on it and doing all sorts of, it's like, please, that would just rip, cause a flood. It would be a big issue, Jeff.
He did announce to the world that he was only a buck 85, so it should be okay.
Buck 85 at 6'4". Pure muscle. There you go.
He was just like a piece of jerky.
I just want to eat you up.
I just want to eat you up. You're like teriyaki Bloom.
Well, you knew he was an asshole because they go out for coffee and he's like pounding out. Hey, I asked for a refill. Give me another cup of coffee.
They're like, oh shit.
They fix up drunken experiments.
I mean, how long was the relationship? 3 days?
It progresses very quickly.
Yeah.
No question.
So he's more of an asshole. There's more time as Fly asshole than sweet lovey-dovey Bloomy.
Yes.
But just like a couple of days. And she keeps coming back.
Well, I'm trying to think. When he cheats on her with the barfly.
Right.
She disappears for like.
For 4 days.
Was it 4 days? I thought it was 4 weeks.
Maybe I'm wrong. It was four something. I thought it was 4 days.
Shit.
Maybe it was 4 weeks. I don't know.
It just,
he's progressing so fast. I find it hard to believe it was 4 weeks.
No, Because you're right. He does it. It seems like the next morning his skin is crazy. Right?
Yeah. And he's angry. Because is that because flies are secretly angry?
I don't know if they're... I think if they establish that insects have no kind of compassion or whatever, right?
Insect politics. He talks about that. Yeah.
Insect politics. They don't have it. He's like, that's why you need to leave, because or I'll hurt you. Here's a question. If he teleports with the fly, why doesn't he immediately come out as all crazy fly man?
Right. Because the thing said they bonded at the...
A molecular level,
except for four hairs on his back.
The only hairs on his back, I might have been.
Yeah, he is. He was very smooth.
He was happy to have them, frankly.
There we go.
Maybe it's a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing in the 80s.
No, but maybe it's a thing of ratio. There's more human, less fly, and like he says, for some reason, fly is taking over. I don't know.
No, that's. I mean, that's a good point, because it's just
flies live for 24 hours. So would the fly part just die? They mate and they die. That is their life cycle, except for the fly bloom.
He made it.
He did, absolutely. What do they call it? The Brundle fly?
The Brundle fly.
Now, think about it is, I don't think I'm calling Gina Davis when I have to puke on my food. Like, his shirt was just covered in slime and glop.
And she still just gives him a big old hug. Dude, your relationship's like 3 days. He must have some magic, I'm telling you. You know, you want to be compassionate, but there's a lot of, and it's not just, it dissolves the bones of her creepy boss, but not his leisure wear.
That's a good point.
Why wouldn't he even dissolve himself? He could just like lay in bed and puke on himself and that's it.
Well, he puked his hand. Brown fry. So,
yeah, his skin, tough skin.
I mean, I guess she would be within her rights to just ghost him. That's how early their relationship is.
Yeah.
Right? She wouldn't even
I've slept with someone and I've told you I'm going to kill you and to fuck off. You're well in your rights. I think you're free and clear.
You're good. You don't even have to have the conversation.
Dude, I might have dropped the dime on someone because, like, he might need
some help.
You,
I met this guy and he turned into a fly. I'm never going to see him again.
I'm out. Dust yourself off and try again. That's what you gotta do. Good Lord.
He was gonna hurt her because flies are always attacking us, or he was gonna hurt her because he wanted to eat her because flies like to eat people.
Well, I think he just... Go ahead.
No, yeah, he has that monologue where he talks what we mentioned about insect politics, that they're brutal, that you can trust them, and that he wanted to be like the first insect politician because he wanted to be different. You know, I'm a human being, I'm sensible, but I don't know, and maybe I'll hurt you. So that's why he pushes her aside.
Well, maybe you need to be in a cage or something. Maybe scientists need to be dealing with this shit.
You'd think, maybe. Now, couldn't he, I mean, since he's the whiz with the computer, couldn't he like be like, because he types in and he figures out that part of him is the fly, right? Like a big old picture pops up. Couldn't he be like, let's separate these two while I'm here?
Yeah, that's what he comes up with. He says that to revert the process, he needs to, which is what he tries to do in the end, to teleport with a human to try to outweigh the human fly ratio again.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Pass it on that.
It's not turn me back to who I was. It's about like messing up the ratio. Like you said, make me even add more human into the stew so that I'm less fucked up creature.
I mean, the fly is this big. So what the fuck? It should be like Star Trek when you transport, like the cancer just disappears or something. Yeah. Remove all parts. Because if he did all this with three lines of code, why not one more line of code? remove insect parts.
Right. The computer identified what the other part was. Just pull the motherfucker out.
Yeah, take that out. I guess we were not there to let him know what he needed to do. Brundlefly was rogue.
Poor old Brundlefly.
That's Brundlefly.
The moment is like when she comes back and sees him all jacked up, his ear pops off, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, that's disgusting. Moment it happens, this is all Cronenberg body horror for the entire rest of the movie. When she's given birth to maggots and shit, that is vintage Cronenberg.
It was so shitty that I thought it was John Carpenter. I was like, is this the dude who did The Thing? It was melted crayons.
See, this is the thing. It's like, I don't know how... Am I offended for David Cronenberg? Or am I offended for John Carpenter? Good Lord. Very upsetting.
I mean, it was very good for the 80s. Let's just say that. It was better than The Thing.
I don't know if I needed quite as many vomiting scenes.
No.
In all honesty.
They're like... We have two options. It could shit everywhere. Would there be Jeff Goldblum fly specks everywhere? Or we could have it vomit on things. Let's go with the vomit.
What do you prefer? The vomiting, the fingernails?
The fingernail peeling off. Yeah.
Or the jaw in the end?
You're eating your popcorn. You feel like we're good to go. No problems. And then it turns that corner and I go, shit. I gotta put my whatever I was eating, I'm putting that down now. We're done eating for the rest of this movie.
No. How is Brundlefly talking if his lower jaw fell off and so now he just has a proboscis?
That was later.
Give me a kiss.
No, he didn't talk anymore.
Yes, his jaw just falls off at that point.
Oh.
He has a medicine cabinet full of things.
Yeah.
What are we? I'm not sure. I want to know what's in that goddamn medicine cabinet.
Brundle Museum of National History, something like that.
Oh yeah.
Got to figure out what was in one of those jars.
It was all fingers, teeth, and dicks.
That's what I thought was in there. And
that's what
I didn't
want to
look too
close.
Yeah. Yep. He already made it.
I'm not gonna need that anymore.
I'm gonna need it.
The good thing is, the vomiting scenes, you see him vomit, but there is another step he establishes. First he vomits on the food, and then he slurps it up.
So you hear it.
You hear it, right. Stannis, I want to call him just Stannis. Stannis Baratheon. When he's watching the video, we don't see the video of him eating the food.
Thank you, Jesus.
We just see his reaction, and you hear the slurping sound. Oh, God. That would have been a bridge too far, to say the least.
Nice. David Cronenberg.
Yeah, thank you.
I really don't know what's happened at the end. Eventually, he starts looking like if you had Hellboy, but you left him under a magnifying glass. He just starts getting all lumpy and blobbery and flumpy.
And flumpy. Absolutely. I think we can all agree on that. No, he's like we said, he has kind of bad skin.
Right.
It's a little cystic acne or something.
He looks like a meth head.
Looks a little methy. Yeah. No question. And then later he's kind of like, it's almost like a burn victim with like.
Yeah, and lumpy. Clothes,
yeah.
Right. Kind of lumpy. And then from there, it gets worse, where it's like, now he's full blown, like the skin kind of sloughs off, leaving us with a crazy bug dude who doesn't say anything else. That was the end of Jeff Goldblum's part of the movie, I guess.
Yeah.
So, that was so nasty.
You know, they made a sequel to this.
I was reading about that. Eric Stoltz is the larva.
Stoltz. Poor Stoltz. Good Lord. I watched this thing about how Eric Stoltz, they hired him for Back to the Future, right? He was Marty McFly, and they filmed like half the movie before Robert Zemeckis is like, I just got to fire this guy. Got to fire him. Because they said it's supposed to be a comedy. But he was playing it like, oh, this is a horrible thing. I'm I'm trapped in the past. Oh, what am I going to do? It's like depression. Like, you're not supposed to play it realistic in this situation.
And the director couldn't have said that day one?
These are
good. Maybe it's not a Robert Zemeckis issue.
I think he's a method actor. I'm not sure, but I think he's one of those that likes to do things his own way. And
right. He didn't get the comedy. Let's just say that.
Did he get the comedy of Fly 2?
He played all the laughs. Absolutely. No question. But also,
I've never seen it.
The sad, one more sad thing about Back to the Future. So they fired him. And when they hired Michael J. Fox, they had to fire the girlfriend because she was too tall now. Womp, womp, womp. It really is a sad story.
That's super heightist. That should be illegal.
Well, didn't happen with Gina Davis.
And they replaced her with Gina Davis. Absolutely.
Originally, Gina Davis was in the role. Yeah. any other highlights you guys got?
We gotta talk about the arm wrestling. Looked like it could go either way until, and this is the time Kevin, your father, looks up. He's like, snap that hand right off, didn't he?
He just walks away like,
he's like, I didn't do it. I get the hooker. Woo! She wasn't even a hooker.
She was just some woman at the bar. This is how it was in the 80s, evidently. Just like, hey, if I win this wrestling match, this chick goes home with me. Cool, we're all good here.
Yeah. She slightly complained, but if you're looking at Methy Bloom versus these other two idiots.
Yeah, Lumberjack Joe, yeah.
He's Prince Harry rolling into the bar, ready to take you back.
Prince Harry. Well, and it was like they were gripping each other, and then it was like ooze or something, some kind of slime.
From the fingers, yeah.
Ew! Yeah. It would have been better if the nails would start popping off then.
Then I think she would have protested a little more. And his fingernails are just popping off during the arm wrestling debacle. So what is it? He's just an insatiable lover? Is that what we're supposed to think? He's like having sex with Gina Davis for 3 straight hours and she's like,
dude, enough. Put it away.
And that's what he gets pissed off, because after 3 straight hours, she's like, I can't take it anymore. He's like, I'm going to find someone who will then. Later. Dude,
this is like meth. Maybe they're making some kind of statement about the 80s.
Ooh. We're going to talk about that.
I mean, I don't want to share any tales, but that could be a methy cocaine situation too.
Could be.
How the drug destroys promising young yuppie lives.
You know what the weird thing is, that one of the things that I think that Cronenberg was going for, maybe on a more serious note, but he was drawing like a parallel with this, what's happening to Jeff Goldblum with terminal illnesses, be it cancer or, considering the 80s, AIDS.
Right.
And okay. if you think now, you know, I want to have sex and I want to have a lot of sex, you know what people thought of AIDS back in the 80s, you know.
Right.
If you're...
you're bringing this on to yourself.
Yeah. So I think it's a weird... but interesting, very timely parallelism.
He did have like the lesions.
Yeah.
Did.
I mean, this is definitely an 80s situation.
When Gina Davis comes to the apartment and he's just, I don't know if this is contagious, so stay away from me. So.
Ooh.
Right. Good.
That's a good one. I didn't think about that.
See? This movie's deeper than you think.
That's right. I'm not sure if fly genomes are contagious.
This movie's not just exploding baboons. There's a deeper message.
There's deeper messages. Absolutely. I mean, it could be. You got something in your pocket for later you want to share with us? You found somebody wrote their dissertation on this?
I think he did say it is kind of an allegory for disease. I think he definitely says that. I think he kind of pushes back on saying it's specifically AIDS per se.
Cancer. But
it is definitely, you know, that is something that he was going for this. So that was very astute.
So, oh, so then you could, let's look at it with the stages of death. You know, there's the Jeff Goldblum's dealing with all of that too. Because yes. There's the denial. Look at the, I'm a superhero.
The anger.
The, right. The anger, yeah. Pointed at her.
But also the toll it takes on relatives that have to take care of you.
Yes.
In Gina Davis.
That's when you know they really love you, if they're going to hug you with the fly vomit. Yeah. Oh, God.
I ain't hugging him. I'm sorry. I'll hand him a handy wipe, and then I'm on my way. Franklin,
the Clorox wipe.
Yes, the bleach wipes is what I'm having with that stage of the game. Good grief. Shall we go behind the scene?
Yes, we shall. I've gone through all my notes.
Let's see. In a 1987 interview, Vincent Price revealed that when this remake was released, star Jeff Goldblum wrote him a letter saying, I hope you like it as much as I liked yours. And Price was touched by the letter. He composed a reply and went to see the film, which he described as wonderful, a wonderful right up to a certain point. But a little too far.
I hope Vincent Price wrote that.
He did.
I love it.
Upon watching some of his early films, director Martin Scorsese asked to meet David Cronenberg. Upon meeting him, Scorsese said he looked like a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon. This inspired Cronenberg to give himself a cameo as the doctor.
What do you mean? Nice to meet you. You look like a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon.
And then
just something he said to somebody else.
That was it. That was the end of the conversation, evidently.
Cronenberg's been in other films. Which other film did we watch where he was
Jason
also...
X. Jason
he was,
X.
He was in Jason
it
X?
Was not f***ing Jason
he
X.
He was in Nightbreed? Yeah. He had a big role in Nightbreed.
Maybe. We did Nightbreed. That
we
was
did
it.
Do Nightbreed. He was the serial killer in Nightbreed, remember?
Yeah.
A lot of these other things are kind of little cameos.
I don't mean that he wasn't in that. I meant that I hadn't seen that. Jason X.
Yeah, but he's in it. He is killed by Jason.
He said, because Jason X is by far the most Canadian of the Friday the 13th movie. So, of course,
take off,
you hoser.
What makes it the most Canadian?
This is an important question. There's a certain quality of the acting where, you know, it's a lot of like, what is this movie about?
That's true. That's true. That one always seems to slip by.
I'm so sorry. There are those moments. Yeah. Good stuff. Let's see. The line, I'm saying, I'm an insect who dreamt he was a man and loved it, but now that dream is over and the insect is awake, is a reference to author Zhuangzi's famous butterfly dream story. It's also a reference to Franz Kafka's famous short story, Metamorphosis. So there you go.
See, we knew it was deep.
That's the line that's more stuck with me this time. Yeah.
Yes.
Almost sounded like Crowded House. There is reason within, there is reason without. See?
It's exactly the same thing.
It's exactly the same. It's Crowded House meets Franz Kafka.
The scene where Seth and Ronnie are having coffee at the restaurant and Seth is talking endlessly was only half scripted when production began. The remainder was written the night before the scene was going to be filmed, as Jeff Goldblum felt that he could add more to the character. So he created that himself.
It's purifying me. It's cleansing me.
He's pounding on the table.
He's You see, that's what happened.
What the hell is happening here?
Give me a refill.
Garçon, coffee.
Stay away from her.
100%.
He's a notorious ad-libber. He likes to improvise and ad-lib a lot. So I don't know how far he was at that point in his career, but maybe that he wanted to add his own flavor to it.
I'm always amazed by Jeff Goldblum, just his line delivery, where you're just like, what? Why are you pausing there?
Because he's a Walken-esque.
What does that mean?
It means he has that odd delivery of lines like Christopher Walken.
He does. It is the craziest thing. You think it would be distracting for the other actors. You're like, when do I deliver my line? Because you're still kind of going there. And now are you done?
What are we going for?
Really, you think it would be distracting. That's all I'm saying, Jeff. No offense, if you're listening.
Jeff, just ignore that. Do whatever. Keep doing what you're doing, friend.
You do you, Jeff. The first name mentioned in the end credits is Chris Wallace as the creator and designer of the Brundlefly makeup. And when the audience cheered upon seeing this first credit, and the producer turned to him and said, "You're getting the Oscar," and he did. He wound up getting the Oscar for special effects for this movie.
Nice.
Yeah, not bad.
Must have been
well deserved.
A shallow pool.
How dare you? It took nearly 5 hours to apply the most extensive makeup stages to actor Jeff Goldblum.
Ooh. That's why he was hairless.
That's why he was. Well, he's naturally hairless. Or
what?
Relatively
like a
hairless.
Seal?
Like a wet seal. Absolutely. He's got a little something here, and then that's
it. How do you know he's naturally hairless?
I read an article. They talked about his body hair. What?
It was an article in GQ about Jeff Goldblum's body hair.
I may be paraphrasing. There's something about it.
I'm hairless.
He's not Robin Williams, that's for sure. According to David Cronenberg, the line, "Be afraid, be very afraid," was invented by Mel Brooks, who produced this movie, while discussing how characters should react to the early stages of Seth Brundle's transformation. Isn't that funny? Be afraid. And people, they also talk about how everybody's heard that quote, "Be afraid, be very afraid," but people don't remember that it came from this movie.
I don't even remember that line in this movie right now.
What happens
Take
is...
Take me back.
Let's go back a bit, shall we? When Jeff is
teleport you.
He's grabbing the bar woman and trying to drag her to the pod.
Yes, that's right.
And she's like, "I'm afraid." And he says, "You don't have to be afraid." And she's like, and then Gina Davis appears and says, "Be afraid. Be very afraid." So that came from this movie, inspired by Mel Brooks.
Well, that reminds me, one more thing. Please. When Jeff Goldblum takes Gina Davis back, then he starts making serial killer jokes to a total stranger. And she's like, but then she decides to tap it anyway.
She's good with it.
She's good.
It's the late 80s. Easy peasy. Absolutely. So no, he is remarkably like the ladies just love him. The ladies love him.
They still do. They still do.
Clearly. Good grief.
We have proof here.
Yes.
He is a fashion icon. You gotta go on his Instagram and check out his outfits. He is an icon.
He's a jazz musician. Did you know that?
He cured cancer. He's gonna bring peace to Ukraine. To the Middle East. He can do it all.
If anybody could, it's Jeff Goldblum.
They just need to ask.
No question. So we talked about how Mel Brooks was a producer on this movie. He actually is uncredited as a producer because, as always, he feels like if his name's in the credits, then people walk in with kind of like it's going to be Blazing Saddles or something.
Right.
It's the same thing with The Elephant Man. He produced that as well.
Okay.
So. I didn't know that either, but you are 100% right.
Yeah. So during the 70s through the 80s, he produced a lot of things that he wasn't, you know, in. It wasn't, Young Frankenstein or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. Interesting choices from Mel Brooks. Let's talk about the cast, shall we? Cast and crew. Let's talk about the David Cronenberg first.
All right.
He also took a pass at the script. There was already a script written, but he kind of took it and kind of added his Cronenberg flavor to it as well.
Well, I like that they did change some of those key elements from the original one, so it wasn't like a remake. I didn't want to see little Jeff Goldblum, you know, Hank. I didn't want to see that.
You don't want to see that. But what's interesting is the basic plot is exactly the same. They even use the same terminology to describe the transporter machine or whatever it is.
Right.
So, which is kind of interesting. You know him from The Fly. He played the gynecologist in 1986. Yep. And in Dead Ringers, he was the obstetrician, uncredited.
I love Dead Ringers.
He's done this many times before. You know him from Existenz, Crash, Scanners.
I've seen all these movies. Apparently, I've seen everything he's ever created.
Rabid.
That's
a good one. With Marilyn Chambers. She's very talented.
Is she rabid?
She was, as a matter of fact. Let's see. Jeff Goldblum played Seth Brundle. You know him from such things as Jurassic Park, The Fly, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yep.
Independence Day.
I never saw that.
And of course, the original Death Wish. Of course.
Of course. Oh my God.
Gina Davis played Veronica Quaithe. She's known as Ronnie. You know her from such things as...
What kind of a last name is Quaithe? They came up with these most bizarre... I mean, I can live with Brundlefly. But between her last name and her weird boss boyfriend's name, what the hell is that all about?
Who could say? Who could say? You know her as Thelma from Thelma and Louise in 1991. She was in The Long Kiss Goodnight, which I love, by the way. She's playing Samantha Cain with Samuel L. Jackson. She was in A League of Their Own in 1992, playing Dottie Hinson, the catcher. She was Veronica Quaithe in The Fly in 1986. She had a very small role in Tootsie, if you remember, with Dustin Hoffman. And she was in at least one episode of Family Ties, where she did star opposite Michael J. Fox.
Speaking of Michael J. Fox.
That's right. He hired her because she didn't have any of the ability to actually raise children. I think they needed a nanny or a babysitter or something. And she didn't have any qualifications, but because she was Gina Davis, hired her. So there you go. Good stuff. Let's see. John Getz played Stathis Borens.
Who makes an appearance apparently in The Fly 2.
He does. Yeah. He's got a lot of stuff going on. He was Psy in The Social Network in 2010.
I did enjoy The Social Network.
He was Stathis Borens in The Fly. He was Ray in 1984's Blood Simple, one of the original
I did see that.
Coen Brothers movies.
Yeah.
In 2007 Zodiac, he played Templeton Peck.
I saw that. I have no memory of it, but I know I saw it.
Am I nuts? Okay.
Templeton Peck. He looks so familiar.
He's been in a ton of stuff. Templeton Peck was also the name of Dirk Benedict on the A-Team. That was Face's real name. So I don't know who is he playing? Is he a member of the A-Team in the Zodiac movie? I don't know.
You didn't know that, but Mr. T, in fact, solved the Zodiac spree. That's why it's not happening anymore.
If you haven't seen Zodiac, I actually enjoyed Zodiac, but there are moments that are very real in Zodiac that are upsetting because you're like, eee!
The lake one.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. It's not like it's gory or, you know, that kind of thing, but just the idea of what you see.
Right. Yeah.
So, not spoiling anything. It gets to you. Absolutely. Shall we talk about the rating?
All right, lay it on me.
Rotten Tomatoes. Currently, The Fly is rated 93% fresh.
I will say that seems high. I like the movie, but that seems a little high.
Do you know what the audience
Rotten Tomatoes, favorite? I just want to go on my rant for a second. I believe Rotten Tomatoes is now becoming a TripAdvisor and Yelp, where people just go on there and boost ratings for the sake Like they have the fan. You know what I'm talking about?
I understand.
Have you never been burned by TripAdvisor?
Yeah, remember, that means that only 97% of people have a favorable opinion of the film, which can be, it was okay.
Right.
To, it was amazing.
Right.
So, your opinion of the film qualifies as a fresh.
Kevin has never explained that to me.
Okay, well, let me explain it to him, Kevin, as well.
I thought 97% of the people thought it was f***ing amazing.
No.
So it could be 97 people going, that's all right.
Yes.
That's all right.
That's exactly what it means. 97% of the people who reviewed it, of the top
deemed it acceptable.
Deemed it at least acceptable. Right. It's confusing. All right. It's confusing.
All right. All right. That is confusing.
Yes. So they don't, so it just...
Your take on the film qualifies as fresh.
Yes. So there you go. Boom. Now it's 98%. Hope it was worth it. The audience gave it... Now I don't even know. I turned away. Let me see. We're a high-class operation here. Okay, 83% of the fans gave it a favorable review.
All right.
Let's
84
look at
now.
That's 84 now. Let's give it... take a look at the top critics here. Gene Siskel from the Chicago Tribune says, as slimy and as grotesque as some of its special effects become, The Fly is a far superior horror film to the top grossing film in America of late, Aliens.
Whoa! What the f***? That doesn't even make sense. And I like The Fly. Oh, Aliens.
It's which I still love. I still love Aliens.
Is he Ryder? Usually Siskel's not my man. Ebert was my man.
He kind of goes rogue every now and again. Right. Old Gene.
All right. They're two different films, though.
Yeah, it's hard to compare them. Let's see. Variety staff.
Oh, my favorite.
David Cronenberg's remake of the 1958 horror classic The Fly is not for the squeamish. Casting Jeff Goldblum was a good choice as he brings a quirky, common touch to the spacey scientist
role. He's the
role.
Common man.
I think we can all agree with that. Absolutely. Good grief. Let's see. I'm going to find one negative review here. Here we go. Pat Graham of the Chicago Reader. Image so much subverts intention that Jeff Goldblum's tragic fly person finally seems more ludicrous than affecting, voyeuristically bizarre. I don't know what the hell that means, but thank you, whoever you are.
Yeah. Thanks for your jib jab.
That was a negative review. Friends. Good Lord. Aaron, what is your review of The Fly?
Surprise. I had all intentions of hating this, but I do not hate it. I do not hate it. I am going to give it 3.5 fashion icon Jeff Goldblum out of 5. I don't even have anything rude to say.
That's fair. Carlo, what do you got?
I used to have it at 3.5. From the last time I saw it, but rewatching it yesterday, I think it went up a bit for me. I've always had issues with the second act. The second act, it's probably the weakest for me, but I think it went smoother this time, so I'm going to bump it to a 4. 4 stars.
You got to watch it again. It'll just get getting smoother, I think.
You know, I kind of feel, in my feeling, is like once we get to level 4, 4 stars.
Yeah. Now we're looking at The Shining.
Well, it's a movie that I'm like, I'm just going to pop this in. You know what I mean? It's a random Tuesday. I'm watching this one again. I don't know if I feel like The Fly is at that level. I think I'm going to say, I think 3.5 is probably a good level. I would say 3.5 throwing up on donuts or Stathis's crispy ham. Who's to say? it's good. I agree with you. Like, I think the buildup is strong. I think when it gets to just being gross, when it's just like 45 minutes is just like, this is just kind of gross and stomach churning.
The buildup is so much better.
I agree. And the bizarre, like, hero turn for the weird ex-boyfriend, you know, sex offender. I mean, that was bizarre. Even as we sit here and discuss it, it's like, what were they thinking about for this character?
Yeah. You know, they didn't know what to do with him. Yeah.
No, it's just because it was he goes to the clothing store where she's buying Jeff Goldblum a leather jacket and just prostrates himself. Please, I love you. Like it's Say Anything or The Graduate or something. And then he's anyway, watch this movie if only for his performance, frankly, and see if you can make heads or tails out of it. We're all over the map. Who knows what's going on there? So any last thoughts or feelings about The Fly?
Yes, I just am going through Jeff Goldblum's Instagram as we speak, who is also in Asteroid City, another Wes Anderson. All I can tell you is, children, give yourself a treat. Follow Jeff Goldblum on Instagram. He's an icon.
And check out The World According to Jeff Goldblum on Disney Plus.
That's right. You need to give me your code so I can watch that. Yep. I ain't paying for another goddamn streaming service.
Sweet Jesus. So, thank you very much. Go to our page on X, Blue Sky, Threads, OnlyFans. We are on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. You can also email us the podcast that wouldn't die at
Gmail.
We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review us, won't you?
Won't you please?
Aaron, what is your social media situation?
Well, I checked. I'm still on Artsy and First Dib, so go buy something. And Aaron Doherty, by the way. I'm on Instagram, The Cult of Aaron, Join the Cult. I'm also Don't Feed the Pigeon. I'm also our TikTok promoter, and I run our Instagram, though not very well. So there you have it. I'm on these things. I'm on the Facebook. I am on, what am I on? Is it X? X?
Whatever. You're definitely on X.
Definitely on X, although I check it twice a month. Or when Kevin texts me and says, hey, you need to respond. People are messaging you on X. Okay.
Carlo, what is your amazing podcast and where can people find it?
Well, I've been hosting the Movie Loot for the last 4 years. It's been an awesome experience where we try to share the best loot of films with people. We do different types of episodes, one of which you both were in the Zombie Loot, where we talk about zombie films. And we also do a monthly challenge where we watch different types of film with people and try to find great recommendations for people. You can find the Movie Loot where all the finer podcasts are found. And you can find me on Twitter at TiefCD and the podcast at TMML2021. We're also on Blue Sky. I don't remember what handle, but we're there. but check out the Movie Loot and you'll see me spewing and babbling more movie stuff.
Whoop, whoop. It's a great show. We had a great time talking about zombies. So, guys, Definitely. Do yourself a favor and check it out. We'll include all of your links in our show notes as well. So check out that good stuff. What we like to do is include questions, comments from the internet. So why don't we do that right now, ladies and gentlemen?
Why don't we?
I got to pull it up. Talking about Dress to Kill, because I recently did a throwback post.
Oh, we forgot to talk about how you were in Facebook jail for your what the f*** videos.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even mention Facebook. Yeah, Facebook has locked me out. They feel that I'm stealing people's copyrights. So
yes.
Who's to
say? It's a threat.
Matter
for a while, we just appeal and would be vindicated. Then Facebook decided there'd been too many appeals. So we're just not going to warn you anymore.
Right. They dropped the hammer. Jail.
Yeah.
So we'll see. March 3rd, I may start posting. I may not. Who's to
Is that when you're locked out?
I think so. So, talking about Dress to Kill.
Yes.
Let's see. User Trump for Jail says casting was perfection, which I agree. I agree on both points, frankly. Good stuff. Let's see. Jamie Senior 282 says Angie Dickinson, Michael Caine, good movie. First, I thought it was Blowout, though. That's a different movie. let's see. And All Bueno 00 says underrated horror classic. This is a great one.
This is all right.
How? Aaron, what the hell? No, what
fake naked Angie Dickinson?
That is true. The original body double right there. But what's funny watching Dress to Kill, I think one person dies in the movie, so it's not much of a slasher.
Right. So. It is not a slasher. And I do dig the crazy apartment that he had, the big circular apartment.
Yes.
Looking over, I mean, where his house sitting. Come on.
Oh, absolutely.
No one's throwing me keys to that place.
Well, yes. And frankly, if you haven't seen Body Double lately, check that out as well. Dynamite. So thank you very much. Thank you, Carlo, once again.
Thanks for having me. Let's see if I am the one to cost the podcast I Wouldn't Die to die.
And be well.
Whoop, whoop.
Bye.